Hello, beloved. This is Pastor Steve Castle. I'm so honored that you've chosen to listen to us today. If there's any additional information that you need, please visit our website at www.belovedchurchillinois.com. We thank you that you are continuing to give God an opportunity to minister to your hearts. He has amazing, wonderful plans for your life. We would love to join you on the journey of you finding out the depths of the relationship that you could have with Him. You were created in His image for a beautiful purpose, and He wants to show you that purpose. We continue to believe God with you and for you to accomplish that goal. If you're in the area, please stop by. Remember, at Beloved Church, this is the place where you are greatly loved. God bless you. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Loving one another, being purposeful in your love to one another, does not mean that there won't be an opportunity to be offended. That's important. Here's what qualifies you for being offended. Breathing. Did everybody catch that? I don't want to go over anybody. The only thing that qualifies you for being able to be offended is breathing. If you're what that means is, if you're alive, then there is something about you that has an opportunity to be hurt. By definition, if you're alive, then you can be hurt. Now, here's the difference. A person who's offended is somebody who's had to take the offense. That didn't resound. When we're offended, oftentimes we want to say, you know, well, it's so-and-so. So-and-so offended me. And if you want to go into technicalities, you're right. So-and-so did offend you. But who's worse, the one that did the offending or the one that took the offense? You know, Jesus said, judge not lest you be judged. So let's judge righteous judgment. He told us to judge righteous judgment, which means that we're supposed to judge based on righteousness. So if we judge on righteousness, then we should judge people based upon their righteousness with God. How are you righteous? By your actions? By your works? If you're righteous because of you being holy, raise your hand, please. I want you to lay hands on me. Anoint me with special oil. Okay, so that means if you're in here and you believe that you're righteous, which I understand, a lot of folks need some prompting on that. Not everybody believes they're righteous, and we're going to get you there. Amen. Me and Dennis are on a hardcore path on trying to get people to understand that they are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus because He was cursed for us. Amen. So anyway, if you are righteous in here, it's because you were made righteous by Jesus Christ, by His death, substitutionary death. He died for you. You didn't earn righteousness. So if you are righteous right now tonight, it's because you were given righteousness as a gift. Okay, so if we're supposed to judge each other in righteousness, that means even if somebody offends you as a work, then you're supposed to judge them based upon righteous judgment. Then you don't have the right to take the offense if somebody's hurt you, right? If you're supposed to judge people righteously, if you're supposed to judge righteous judgment, then you wouldn't judge them by the act of offending you or trying to offend you. You would judge them based upon the fact that they have been made righteous through Christ Jesus, and they just don't realize that yet. And so that's why they still continue to have offensive characteristics. So really, if you were believing that it was your opportunity to judge another person, to set another person straight, you should go to the person that offended you and you should explain to them their righteousness in Christ Jesus. One of the ways you can do that is by not taking the offense and by blessing them. Keep quiet in here now. Come on. This is what Christianity is based on. Christianity is based upon the fact that Jesus Christ took what we deserve. If we were honest, every single one of us deserves hell because of our offenses towards God. But God, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen? Romans 5:8. You were a sinner, so Jesus died for you. Why? To make you righteous. Why? So that you had no hindrances whatsoever in your relationship with Him. God's a relationship God. So He removed all obstacles. All right. Matthew 18. I got to show you stuff in the Word because some of y'all just nodding at me like a bobblehead. Okay, amen, Pastor. So Matthew 18 is where I want to go. Verse 1, we'll start right at the beginning where Jesus started. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? I'd like to point out that the beginning of this chapter started with a bunch of disciples. Oh, what are you, got your butt pinched? Quit pinching people's butts, Aaron. This is not that kind of church. I'd like to point out that what started this line of teaching from the Lord is that the disciples, I honest to God, I'm praying that you get this. This is so important. What started the Lord's teaching in this chapter on forgiveness and offense, it's because the disciples were arguing over who was going to be the greatest. Proverbs 13:10 says, only by pride comes contention. But wisdom is what the well does. Only by pride comes contention. Now look, there's a bunch of times in my life I don't like that scripture. And if you're human, there's a bunch of times in your life that you're not going to like it too. But that doesn't change it. It's the truth. Only by pride comes contention, which means if you've been offended, ever, it's because you had something that was offendable, which is your living pride. So how do you fix that? Kill your pride. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loves me and gave His life for me. I'm dead. You cannot offend a dead person. I dare you. Go up to a casket, kick the casket, spit on the casket, curse the casket. You know the guy in there? Totally unaware of all of your offenses because he's dead. So what started the Lord's teaching was the disciples. And, you know, I don't think they were just like, you know, Peter, you're a worthless jerk. Shut up, Andrew. I'll come over there and punch you in the mouth. No, you won't, Simon. I don't think it was like that. I think it was like, hey, Peter, how many did you raise from the dead? Well, about 47. Well, John, how many did you raise from the dead? 49. Man, that was a long weekend, wasn't it? God, there's dead people everywhere. Okay, but I got 18 lepers. Andrew, what you got? Well, I was just kind of being quiet because you guys were having a conversation, but I got 52 dead people and 39 lepers. Oh, somebody's got to beat him. He's going to beat us in heaven, right? He's going to have a higher seat than me. We can't have that. Right? It's not enough just to go to heaven and be with Jesus. We got to have a big crown. How many ever heard sermons on getting a crown and more stars and more? All right? And I'm not saying that it's not right to do things for God. A person who's had their hearts changed by a loving, good, and generous God wants to be loving, good, and generous. And then God rewards those who are like Him. And that's a fact. That's totally a fact. But if you are doing things for God to be rewarded, you are not doing things for God from your heart.
Amen. Praise God.
So I don't think they were like arguing like, hey, you're just a jerk and you smell bad. I think they were literally like, man, we've been doing a lot of stuff. In the last 3.5 years with Jesus, have you seen the stuff that we've done? And you know, well, you know, then there's Peter over there. And you know, God said that he's going to build the whole darn church on Cephas being a rock and all. I mean, I don't even get that. And then he turned around and called him Satan. So it's either Peter's like the highest or he's the lowest. I literally believe they were standing around. You know, people, we're not the only generation that's ever talked about doctrine. I mean, did I lose anybody on that one? Okay, so they were probably talking about it like, okay, so when we get to heaven, what's it going to be about? You know, what's going to get us to the higher place? Is it going to be the work stuff? Or is it going to be, you know, grace? Or is it going to be love? Or what's going to get us there? I don't think they were being all totally in the flesh. I think they were like, hey, you know, John's the apostle of love. Darn him. You know, and Peter's going to build the church. And Thomas, you know, I mean, he's got trouble believing stuff. Right? And Philip's the evangelist. You know, don't you know that some of the other ones, like Matthew, Matthew's like, well, all I'm going to do is write a gospel. Big whoop. I'm going to write a book. Woo. What do I get when I get up there? I believe that there was different, you know, pride has two different, the stick of pride has two different ends. One end of the stick of pride is, look at me. Look how awesome I am. Look how great I am. You should recognize my greatness. You call me doctor. The other side of the stick is, oh, I'm such a worm. I'm just a sinner. I'll never accomplish anything for the kingdom of God. Oh, Lord, if it's in your will, please just give me a little pittance of goodness. Please just let me get till tomorrow. My car broke down. Just give me some shoes. I'll walk it, please. That's the other side of pride. And I know that's really throwing folks off, but you abasing yourself, lowering yourself below what Jesus Christ has created you to be, or trying to exalt yourself above what Jesus Christ has created you to be, either one of those is you being focused on you. You recognizing exactly who you are in Christ Jesus based upon the cross, based upon the righteousness of God, based upon what He has done for you, not of your works. It's a free gift to you, based upon the blood that spilled on the cross of Calvary. You recognizing that and living from that is the only place where your pride is dead. That's good stuff. So I believe that some of the disciples were saying, hey, maybe I'll be on the top. And a bunch of the other disciples were saying, well, you know, we're just the lowly disciples. You know, all we do is follow them around and pick up the messes and go get food and go get hotel rooms and go get donkeys. And that's all we do is just the mundane stuff. We're just the lowly. So Jesus, because He is full of the Spirit of God beyond measure, recognizes that this is a great opportunity to let everybody know about offenses. So He's going to do a great teaching. So He recognizes that they're fussing at each other about their rank in the kingdom of God. So in the next verse, and I'd like to remind you, what's the kingdom of God? It's God's way of ruling and reigning. It's God's system of government in operation. Be it in heaven or be it in earth. Amen. The kingdom of God is in you. Luke chapter 17. I think it's verse 19 or 21. And Jesus called a little child unto Him and set him in the midst of them. Oh, this is beautiful. This is so beautiful. First of all, I'd like to point out that Jesus had such a good rapport with everybody that the kids were cool with being in His meetings. That's important. One, the kids were cool being in Jesus' meetings, which means that He probably did not talk like this, very mundane, and talk about all of the doctrines of the Word of God. Amen. Which means there was probably stuff going on there the kids were cool with. So there's a kid there. And I don't think it was just the only kid there, like the total, like the one that was drug in there by his ear, by his mean old grandma. Like, hey, sit there. I'm fine. I believe he was there and listening. He had to be listening because Jesus called him. Son, I don't even doubt if Jesus didn't call him by name. Amen. Shar, you want to come on down? Here's the other thing, too, that's really cool right there. You look at that. You know, the kid came. You know what? You know, we just look by some of this information sometimes. But Jesus called a kid, and the kid came. You know what that means? That kid recognized that it was a safe place to go and be with Jesus. Amen. Huh. We don't have churches like that everywhere. Amen? I mean, there's a bunch of preachers that if he said, hey, you come up here, that the kid would be like, oh, I want to go. You better go. No, I want to go. Because they don't know what's about to happen up there. You know, they seen the preacher yell at mom like 2 weeks ago. They jump around and spit on folk. I don't want to go up there. You're going to do something to me. No, you know, Jesus called the kid. That kid came. I know it looks like mundane information, but think about it. They were probably like totally like, I could see like three kids sitting together and he says, hey, come here. And like all three of them jump up and he probably had to say, no, John. And so he took this child and he set him in the midst of them. And don't you know, Jesus, who was preaching to thousands, stopped his meeting for a moment and brought a child. Don't you know, everybody was aware of what was going on. And he set this child in the midst of them. And then he said, truly I say to you, except you be converted. Man, Jesus is all about the new birth. He's just absolutely about the new birth. About dying away the old way of living and allowing the life of God to be a part of your life. Unless you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into God's system or government of ruling and reigning. Now we look at that and we say, okay, so what you're saying, Lord, is you want the kids in charge. Chocolate for everybody. Amen. No more wars, because all we're going to do is run around on the playground and hit the swings. We're going to have a lot of nurses, though, because, you know, there's going to be a lot of tree branches that break off. Amen. You know, it's totally not what the Lord was saying. The Lord was not saying we're going to put the kids in charge and have total anarchy and this is going to be a wreck. What he's saying is, that a kid, and I want you to recognize this, take a small kid, take a couple of small kids, take a little black boy and a little white boy and a little Hispanic girl and a little Asian girl, and you put them in a room with a bunch of toys, you know what they're going to do? They're going to play. You take four adults like that. Oh, amen. Come on now. You know what children don't care about? Skin color. Talk a little different. Look a little different. Hey, you know how to play Legos? Yeah, I know how to play Legos. Do you know how to play Legos? Yeah, I know how to play Legos. Okay, you want to play Legos? Totally want to play Legos. It's the heart of a child. It's not about this outside circus. It's about the inside part. Hey, are you nice? Yeah, I'm nice. Good, because I don't want to be with mean people. Yeah, neither do I. Okay, let's play. Okay, let's play. You think about it? Think about the way a kid thinks. Hey, here's a brand new bike. Hey, thanks. You know, I've never seen a kid get a brand new bike and the kid say, I think that's a BMX. Is that a BMX? I totally wanted a, I don't even know what the good bikes are called. I wanted a dyno. That was a good bike when I was a kid. I wanted a dyno. You got me a BMX. What's up with that? You got me a brand new bike, but it wasn't as good. You know, the adult would say, hey, you know what? Here's a new coat. Well, that's not leather. That's not even new. You wore it once. You know, kids don't care about that stuff. Here's a brand new bike. Woo! Can I ride it now? No, it's winter and there's snow out. Woo! Can I ride it in the garage? Yes. Woo! It's a new bike. It doesn't matter. You know, we are the ones that make all this stuff matter. So Jesus was specifically saying, look, Can we make the big things the big things and the little things the little things? Is that too hard? How about you guys don't argue about who's going to be top and bottom in the kingdom of God? How about we talk about the kingdom of God? How about that? How about we talk about the kingdom? How about we bring as much of the kingdom of God to earth and we live it as best as we know how to, and then when we all leave, we'll sort out the whole organizational chart. Amen? You know, but most people, you know, they'll walk up to you and they'll say, hey, I heard you got promoted. Yeah, I did get promoted. So, do I work for you? Well, I don't know. Let's refer ourselves to the organizational chart. Well, see, right here, there's a little line that takes a little hairpin turn over here. And according to this hairpin turn line, you indirectly work for me. Oh, well, I hate you now. Okay, well, good, because I hate you. So now go do what I say. Jerk. You know, but if they were just two co-employees, seriously, if they were just two co-workers, they could, like, hang out and pal around together. I totally used to do this all the time. I would go into restaurants. I was indirectly in charge of 63 restaurants. So there was a bunch of times I'd walk in a restaurant and nobody in there knew me. I was just a dude in a Waffle House uniform. And so I'd walk in, hey, what's happening? Hey, what's happening? Hey, do you know where we can get some more coffee? Yeah, I'll go get you some. Cool, thanks. But then I walk in one of the restaurants where they recognize me and they're like, oh, Steve's here. Hide the stuff. Do the thing. Hey, put the phone down. Oh, man, we're out of coffee. Ooh, who's going to yell it? If I just come in and I'm just like totally like a comb, I could actually walk up to him and say, has it been busy? No, it's been slow. We've been in the back watching TV. Oh, okay. You do anything besides watch TV? No, you know, boss ain't here. He don't ever show up. I can't tell you how many times I learned about the manager from walking into a restaurant on second shift and just acting like I'm one of the guys and saying, so what's the boss like around here? Man, he a jerk. Hang out in the office all morning long, doesn't do a thing. He just barks orders at everybody, stuff in the thing, and you know what? You know what I'll do? I'll go watch the video. Guess what I'll find? The manager sitting in the office all day long yelling at people. So then me and the manager have a conference. You can get information easy when you're equals, right? You know, if we're equal, hey, if I'm not going to tell you what to do and you're not going to tell me what to do, we can just hang out. That makes a lot of sense, right? You know how kids act? You know, they don't walk up to each other and say, hey, are you a doctor? No, I'm not a doctor. Are you an engineer? No. Are you a policeman? No. Hey, you want to go to the playground? Totally. Have you ever seen a kid do that? Walk up and like ask him for, hey, can I see your business card before I play with you? No, they don't care. Do you know how to swing? Yeah. Do you know how to do underdogs? Yeah. Let's go. You know, I know this is probably really deep theological, but I want us to get this. Jesus seen his highest ranked disciples, and there were more disciples. It said that there was a bunch of folks that followed him around that were called disciples. So his highest ranked disciples, the one that he was pouring the most intensely into him, he see him basically sparring over their positions in the body of Christ. And so what he does is he brings a kid up and he says, I want you to think about how kids interact. Man, that'll definitely change the government structure that we think needs to be taking place in the kingdom of God. You know, when we unify based upon the organizational chart, I'm going to be ahead of Pat. That's right. Tell that boy what to do. Amen. Better start hopping when when I say jump, you got to go, ha ha. You better call me pastor, brother, so-and-so. Better recognize, right? I got the power. Here's what I'm thinking. Oh, praise God. I got somebody that's been literally like a mentor to me that's going to be able to tell me all the information that he has, all the experiences that he's had in ministry. He's going to be able to go alongside me while we chart this path that's never been charted before. And I'm going to be happy, happy, honored to serve him. What a glorious time it's going to be. What a glorious time. I give a pootie about the organizational chart. Because I'm going to go in this like a kid. You know what a kid wants to do? Hey, teach me. Show me. Let me see. No, I didn't do it right. How do I do it better? Oh, here, let me show you. I'm going to ask a bunch of folks in Lena, hey, how can we do this better? Well, you know what? I've had this idea for years. Let's do this. Okay, cool. Let's do that. Meet you at the playground. Is that cool? Can we do that? What if we make a mistake? Kids never make mistakes, right? Anybody got any kids? Okay, so did kids make mistakes? Anybody ever met any kids that made mistakes? I mean, my kids have never made a mistake. They're absolutely perfect. They're angels. They've never done a single thing wrong ever. Like, ever. Ever, like, in the last 13 seconds. You think Jesus would say, you know what? The kingdom of God is like this perfect, beautiful mosaic that I just made through the power of the Spirit. Poof. That's the kingdom of God. It's perfect. No, he took some snot-nosed kid, probably full of dirt, who was throwing dirt clods at his buddy 10 minutes before that, said, hey, come up here. You represent everything that God wants to do on earth. You see that kid going, yeah, baby. Right? That's not usually how it is. I've been to ministers' conferences. I've been around the movers and the shakers in the body of Christ. They want to know how big your church is, how many degrees you got, how long you've been ministering. You know, give me some credentials. Show me your credentials, what qualifies you to talk to me. Jesus loves me. Whatever, dude, that don't qualify you for nothing. Qualifies me for heaven. Whole lot better than you. Oh, did I say that? Excuse me. I repent. Lord, I didn't mean to. All right. And verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter in to the kingdom of heaven. You know, he didn't say that you might not know about the kingdom of heaven. You might not know all the principles and the keys and the steps and the stages. You might be able to quote all the scriptures. You might know everything there is to know about the kingdom of heaven. And that kid don't know a ripping thing about God's system of government. Which one gets in? The kid. Because his heart is pure. You get this? This is the part that I want you to get. With the kid, it's about his heart. With the adults, it's about how do you look? How do you dress? How much money do you make? How big's your ministry? What's your title? With the kids, it's about your heart. It's just about your heart. Are you nice? Then I want to play with you. If you're a meanie, I don't want to be around you. I don't care how much money your parents have. I don't want to be around you. Do you get that? We are judging people based upon the wrong things. And especially when we get to offenses. You know, if God forbid, if I would offend somebody, somebody might have a little more grace for me because I'm like your pastor and I'm your preacher and you know I love you in your heart. And so you might, based upon my position, you might tend to maybe give me a little bit more grace. But if it was just somebody that you just met and they walked in and they're like, oh man, you smell bad. Whatever. Leave the church, jerk. I don't even want to talk. You know, if I would have walked in, I'd be like, hey, oh, hey, man, you're like, oh, Pastor Steve, just being whatever. You get that? We're judging based on a non-righteous judgment. We're judging based upon the exterior. Jesus brought the kid up and said, it's about the heart. All right, next verse. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Is greatest. So God's organizational chart is kid, teenage, well, let's put the teenager on. No. You get it? God's got a different organizational chart than we do. We would say, you know, like doctor, lawyer, engineer, you know, politic. Well, we might not put them on the chart. Jesus says, kid, kingdom. Hey man, does this mean that we need to be dopes? Y'all know my gift as a teacher, right? So I'm trying to create full-fledged know the Bible, know the kingdom of God, know the doctrines of God, know Jesus Christ intimately, have a great relationship, know the scriptures, know how to find yourself in the scriptures, know how to find other people in the scriptures, know how to minister the word to people, use language that ministers to their heart, tell them about the concepts of the Word of God in a way that they get it. All of this takes training, okay? So I'm not saying that it's okay to stay a kid, but recognize that your entrance into the kingdom of heaven, God's system of government, is coming to him with a humble, soft, childlike heart. It's the heart. So he sees the disciples arguing, probably arguing over who's top, who's bottom. And then he brings a kid up, who obviously loves him. And he says, this is the entrance. This is the way that you enter into God's system of government. This is the way you enter into the God's way of ruling and reigning, is as a child. And then he goes into talking about offenses. Verse 5. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receives me. If you receive somebody who's humble of heart, he's starting to talk about offense here. It's kind of subtle, but he's starting to talk about offenses. Because we receive offenses or we receive Jesus. You can't receive both. You cannot receive at the same time offense from somebody and Jesus from somebody. It's one or the other. You can't receive darkness and light at the same time. You get light or you get dark. So it's very subtle where he's talking about it in there. But I want you to see this. Unless you receive with a soft, pure heart that's open to the kingdom of God, you're not going to receive me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. I heard one time that the most fearful way of dying is drowning. You think about it. Why is that so scary? Because you can't breathe. You were created to breathe. You were given life and breath. The Father kissed you to life with His breath. Which I believe it's very indicative that the most fearful way of dying is not having breath. So Jesus is saying that if you offend a person who is soft of heart, not great of exterior, soft of heart, who is trusting and believing in God, the very breath of God is going to be taken from you. That's good stuff. You know, it's important for us to recognize that one of the best ways to not be offended is to not offend. You know I've done this a lot, and Dennis has preached on it, and other people preached on it about us receiving offenses, but can we take a minute and remind ourselves that it's really a whole lot better for us to be a family together and for us to be unified in the kingdom of God as people who don't offend? You know, if nobody is offending each other in here, then we don't have to practice a whole lot of not taking other people's offenses. We spend a lot of time saying, hey, you know what, don't take the offense, and, you know, let stuff roll off you, water off a duck back, and you know, and don't get mad, and bless them in Jesus' name, and don't curse them, you know, bless and curse not, and in so doing, you'll heap coals of fire. I hate it when people do that. That's not even what that scripture means. If you really want to pray for somebody so God heaps coals of fire on their head, you're just basically sicking God on them. Get them, God! I hate them. You hate them too, right? Put some coals on it. No, that's not what that scripture is about. I don't have time to get into that one, but that's not what that's about. You're supposed to bless them on purpose. But can we take a minute? How about we not give people reason to be offended? That's a novel idea. How about you just come up to somebody and say, there's nothing wrong with you at all. There is absolutely nothing about you that I would ever, ever even accidentally offend. I just think you're awesome. When's the last time you just walked up to somebody and said, you know what, I love you and you're awesome. And I don't have anything that I want to come up to you and correct about you. You know, if you start showing people their awesomeness, guess what they will rise to? Praise God. Instead of coming up and saying, man, you know that thing that you did? And Jesus said that we got a right to go to a brother when you're offended and work it out and all that. But how about you just like don't have anything that you got? You know, I cannot remember a time that Dennis and I have had like a crossword. I mean, there's things that we totally disagree about. And one day he'll grow up and he'll be on the same page as me. But I can't remember a time that we've gone to each other that I just left the house and been like, that jerk, I'm going to burn the Dow house down. No, seriously, I want you to think about this. There should be people in your life, if you really are living from, there should be people in your life that you just, you know, Larry and I have never had an offensive word back and forth ever. And we've been together a long time. He's been in my office a lot. He asked me a lot of questions about stuff that I probably do wrong. And he's never come in there and say, well, look here, preacher man, I got some bones to pick with you. And you need to repent. You know, if you come up to folks and you got both guns drawn and they're cocked and loaded, you know what the other person's going to do? Hey, 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 hey. Slow down, cowboy. What if we just come up to folks and say, hey, you know what? I've been waiting for you all day to hug you. You don't know what kind of day I've had. No, I do know what kind of day you had because, you know, I was praying for you earlier and God told me that you need a hug today. You ever just prayed about folks? Just like bless them? Did this with Eric and Jen. I knew they were gone and I seen on my calendar that Riley was coming and I was just like, oh God, I'm so glad that you brought Eric and Jen and Riley into our midst. They're such a blessing. God bless them. There is nothing about them that I find offensive at all. There's nothing that they're going to do that's ever going to offend me. I pray that way. You know, so when I see them, it's like, I didn't even know they were here. They were hiding out in the back room. I like came out there. I'm like, they're here. You ever felt that way about folks? Every time I go over to the Father's house, I get tingly. I do. I walk into the place. I'm like, all these people, they're going to love me. I'm going to love them. One of the best ways to not be offended is to not offend. Whatsoever a man, be not deceived. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. Jesus said, press down, shaking together, running over. You know, if there's a lot of folks offending you in your life, ding, 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 ding. You ever think about that one? No, that scripture is all about money. No, it ain't. Praise God. If you go look at that in Galatians, it wasn't even talking about money. It was talking about the Word of God. It's talking about the power of God. If you're a person that a lot of people are offending all the time, you're probably somebody that's giving it out a lot. Amen. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him to a millstone be hanging around his neck and he were drowned. Yeah. Woe unto the world. Woe. Woe. Woe unto the world because of offenses. You know, Jesus said, woe. Jesus. I want you to get this right. You know, Jesus doesn't throw out words. In fact, every single word that Jesus spoke carried the same power that created the universe. You get that right? So it's not like Jesus was like, ah, stupid kid. You know, if he would have said, like, stupid kid, you know what that kid would have been? The stupidest kid ever. Probably die. He said to the fig tree, no man eat figs of you from here on after forever. You know what happened? Fig tree died. He didn't say, die, fig tree. He didn't say, I curse you to death. He didn't say you need to fall over. He didn't say roots dry up. He didn't say, all he said is that nobody's going to eat fruit of you forever. You know what happened? The fruit tree died. You know why? Because trees were meant to be fruitful. When you lose your purpose, you die. Man, that's a lot deeper than y'all responded. That's good preaching. When you lose your purpose, you die. What do? Keep in your purpose. Keep in your purpose. Fig trees make figs. Christians are lovers. Amen. Woe! Woe unto the world. Because of all offenses. You know what he didn't say? Woe unto the world because of homosexuality. Woe unto the world because of murder. Woe unto the world because of drug abuse. Woe unto the earth because of alcoholism. Are y'all catching up with me on this? Jesus said that the woe was offense. Oh, man. That's deep now. And I'm going to break off there because it's important for us to... I want to go deeper in this stuff, but I want to highlight this. In James chapter 3, I want to say it's towards the end. I want to say like maybe 16. Let me look it up. Did you find it? All right. Yeah, there you go. God bless you, Craig. 16. That was all. For where there is envy and strife, there is confusion and every evil work. He didn't say where there's Democrats in power. You like how I just threw that political stuff up in there? Amen. That'll steam you later. You can't get offended at me, though. Where there is really bad language, where people cuss a lot. How about this? Where there is people that don't believe the way I believe. How about this? Dennis reads the ESV. We're going to do this for like the rest of our lives together, me and you. Amen. Doesn't he know that the King James is the only inspired version? We have totally different doctrines. Hey, you know what? I seen so-and-so down at the bar. Right? James says when you see so-and-so down at the bar, that's where there's every evil work. Where there is envying, and I can say this, I owned a restaurant next to a bar. You know, I can tell you that a lot of times I could look out the window between my restaurant and the bar, and the folks at the bar were happier to be together than a bunch of folks that I knew at church. Zinger. Amen. Where there's envy in, which is pride, and strife, there is confusion and every evil work. You want to open the door of your life to every evil work, find some strife with somebody. Find some contention. Or receive some strife. Receive some contention. Be prideful. Find out why you're better than them or that they're better than you. If you want to swing the door open wide, if you want to just hang a sign over your door that says, "All devils and demons, welcome here. There's no door. Took it off the hinges. Come on in. Partay." I cannot tell you how strong the scripture is. He didn't say where there are people that are teaching wrong doctrines. He didn't say when there's somebody that doesn't believe the same way that I believe. You know, a lot of people want to fight about doctrines. There's been small wars fought over eschatology. Anybody know what eschatology is? It's end time stuff. There have been small wars fought over it. Fought. Like, nearly see people go to fisticuffs, whether we're pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib. What's it matter? We're all going to heaven. Well, what if we go while we're in the tribulation? Jesus won't let you get tempted beyond what you're capable. What's it matter? Well, what if it gets bad? Is anybody paying attention to the world? It's getting pretty darn bad. Praise God for the light. Praise God for Jesus. You know, the darker it gets, the brighter light is. Praise God. We fight about things that are totally inconsequential. Do I think that it's inconsequential that we figure out what the end times is going to be like? No. Am I going to get in strife and contention with a brother or a sister over it? No. No. If you want to ask me every single thing I believe and sit down and you got an open mind and you're willing to take it, I'll totally tell you about it. If you're asking me what I believe because you're looking for places to fight, I'll shut up. You want to fight with me, you're going to fight by yourself. I'm not going to fight with you. You get that? It takes two. You know that? You can't have a fight by yourself. You got that? It takes two. In order to have a baby of strife, you got to do the dirty. It takes two. This is a strong, strong, strong scripture that I really honestly don't believe that most of the kingdom of God recognize. Most of the folks that are operating in what they call Christianity, I really don't believe that they think that this scripture was Holy Spirit inspired, because if they did, they would treat each other differently. They really would. Because if they recognize me being in strife with you over I don't even care what it is, opens the door in my life to every evil work, if they knew that, you know how hard people would strive to never be in strife and contention? If it meant you exploding your Facebook page, if it meant you driving an hour away to go to somebody's house and crawl in the front door on bended knee and beg for repentance from a person that you accidentally offended. Whatever it took, if you recognize that this scripture was really in the Bible and they really meant what they said and there really is the power of God involved with His Word, then you would do anything that it took in order to make sure that this was not in operation in your life. You would not be a person who was offensive or offendable. And I know, I got you. It's impossible. You're right, without Jesus. If we went back to Matthew 18, the end of that chapter is Jesus telling a parable about a guy who was forgiven millions and millions of dollars worth of debt. And then he went out and found somebody that owed him $1,000. And it said he grabbed him by the throat and he threw him into prison. And he said, "You're going to pay all." And it said that the master came back to him and said, "I forgave you millions and millions of dollars worth of debt. And you went and grabbed somebody by the throat over $1,000? He goes, "You will forever be where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth." Talking about hell. Jesus has forgiven you everything. Everything. There is nothing that Jesus even remembers about anything bad you've ever done, said, or had done to you. Not one thing. He's cast every single one of them into the ocean of forgetfulness. It is gone. As far as the east is from the west is as far as you've been forgiven. There's not one single scar. There's not one single mark on you. Not one. Nothing. You've been forgiven everything. And you're going to be mad at somebody over a Facebook post. This is not the kingdom of God. A person that's been affected by the forgiveness of Jesus Christ in that magnitude, what can anybody do to me? Well, how can somebody, you know, Jesus loves me. I have a wife and children that love me. I love them. I got a church family that loves me. You know, I mean, I get it that you're mad at me and you're saying bad stuff about me, but really, honestly, in the grand scheme of things, you don't matter a lot. If you want to be mad at me and you want to be ugly at me, that's fine. I don't want you offended, but I'm just not going to let you wreck my life with your offense. And I'm totally not going to offend you back. Why would I treat evil for evil? Why would I open both the door in both of our lives? If you want to sit in every evil work, you can sit there by yourself. I'll rescue you if you ever want to call me. But I'm not going to go sitting there with you. You're not dragging me into that hell. No. I've been rescued from hell. I'm not going back into that. That's stupid. Amen. We get this? Good stuff. Amen. All right. Hopefully I'm going to try to do a little better job tomorrow. So we get it out right. Amen. Because I didn't. Come on. That'd have been you guys a great opportunity. No, Pastor, we love you. It's perfect. But you know what? You're not offending me. I'm going to preach tomorrow whether you like it or not. Because I don't want to be the fig tree that dries up. This is my purpose. My purpose is to bless you and love you and teach you the things of God. So I'm going to do it with every fiber of my being. Amen. Amen. All right. Now, are we willing to commit to this now? I don't want to like totally preach my heart up here and everybody leaves and goes, "Oh, that was a good word. What did he talk about?" No, amen. Seriously. Can we commit to this? Is that okay? I don't want to ask you to do anything that's not in your heart. If it's in your heart to commit to this, I want you to pray with me, okay? If you're not there yet, just ask the Lord to help you. It's cool. He'll help you. He loves helping people with this stuff. He doesn't want every evil work in your life either. Amen? Father, we love You. We thank You for Your great forgiveness. Lord, You said in Ephesians that as You have forgiven us for Christ's sake, that we have the option and the opportunity and the power to forgive other people the way we've been forgiven. Okay, Lord, so You've forgiven us completely. Absolutely completely. And so now, as an act of our will, right now, we are forgiving everybody that's offended us in our life completely. Completely. Father, we are doing this. We're not doing this out of our emotions because our emotions are screaming against us. We're not doing this out of our feelings because I got it. The feelings are screaming against us. But we believe that Your word is true. We believe that Your anointing power is resident in our life. And so we're doing this from our heart. From our heart. For this purpose. To be set free from anything. Anything that could ever attach itself to our lives. That would steal from us the life of God. Giving us that amazing opportunity. To live like You live. To walk like You walk. To experience love and joy and goodness and peace the way You experienced it. Father, we do this now. We pray this now in the name of Jesus Christ because we know that's the only name that can bring this as a reality in our life. And so we release this prayer now in the name of Jesus Christ as a family dedicated and committed to this, unified together through Your Spirit. Amen. 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 If you prayed that, God's working that, all things together for good to you. Amen. If you're not there yet, hang out with us. We'll try to get you there. Amen? All right. Praise God. See you in the morning, some of you.